this since this year started. So it's happy 2018. Has anybody ever, has anybody blown it yet? Any resolutions made and not kept? Okay, you're in the right place. All right, just so you know. Glad that you're here. Look, we're going to take some time and be like, hey, just be with the Lord. Be with folks who need God's help and are humble enough to admit it. And maybe, you know, maybe smart enough to admit it. I don't always say that I'm smart. But I'm going to tell you, the smartest thing I've ever done is say, Lord, I need you. And I think it's pretty smart. You know, so I'm going to take, can I take credit for that, Coach? All right, thank you. I appreciate that. Maybe you're in that same place. Today we're going to talk about four words. We're going to talk about two of those four words that we look to pick up and to use and to kind of use as a focus to help us walk with the Lord this year, okay? Last week we talked about things that we need to leave behind. This week we're going to talk about things we need to pick up, okay? Glad that you're here. Let your mind be focused on the Lord. Whatever you got going on at home or out in the world, it don't need you for the next hour. Not that I'm going to preach for a full hour. I may, but I'm just saying, that's not a promise. But for the next hour while you're here, the world can do without you. It'll be all right. God's running it, all right? He's got it. So give your mind to Him. Give your attention to Him. Give your heart to Him. Let's praise
and focus on Him right now. You ready? Are y'all ready to start this year off that way? God-focused, God-centered? Let's do it. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. And Father, I pray that while we're here, you would give us this time of oasis. You'd give us a time of reflection, a time of repentance, a time of confession, a time of calling out, a time of prayer. Father, that you'd give us the ability to focus on what you would have us to hear through the songs, what you'd have us to hear through the sermon, what you'd have us to hear from one another. And you'd build us up. So much tears us down, Father, help to build us up. We love you, Lord, and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. slap it. It just makes sense. It's something that God's given you. Don't let it go to waste. What a good song to focus us in, though. God's got it. Y'all, whatever you brought in to this year and you struggle with, remember who God is, right? And give it to Him. Remember, God is God, and there is no other, right? And so we praise Him. So anyways, I just invite y'all to praise, and we're going to do it right now. We're going to praise right now. Because now is the time to worship.
song, it says, "It's foolishness, I know." Then it talks about something. I can't remember, but it's like, but I want to dance. That's I'm just my summary. But I want to dance. I believe there'll be a time when God moves amongst his people that we're gonna have some joy that's not hindered by wondering what people think about us. Or even with the protocol of we're all in our seat and stuff like that. And I know some of y'all are thinking, Big John, they got Pentecostal churches for that mess. I know y'all are thinking, I'm reading right into your brain. You ain't got to be comfortable. It's not about being comfortable. It's about the time when we start going, God is so good that when I sing about him, however goofy I might feel or look, I'm just going to express it. Look, I got real bad T-Rex hands when I praise the Lord. They don't go, this is my zone. If I raise my hands, it's like this. I play the belly drum. I point. You know, I stay on right here, just T-Rex. I don't go way out. Most of the time, there had to be something different. But I'm going to tell you, whether you think I'm foolish or not, I'm doing it because in my brain, I'm getting a picture of the goodness of God, and it just makes me happy all the way to my hands. It doesn't necessarily got to my feet yet. You know, I haven't started doing all this stuff. Just that's my hips even. See, my feet just don't move. There's just a lot of weight on them. But when I get skinny and then happy in the Lord, you watch, I'll be flying all over this place. Y'all watch. Watch what happens. All right, 90s class. I saw 90. 90s class for the first time in 2018. Ready? Break! Go get them. Look at them youngins. There they go. Oh, we got a runner. We got a runner. There we go. Got that under control. So glad that you're all here. We're going to be looking at four words over the next 2 weeks. We're going to take two words today, two words next week. The idea of these words, there's no magic. It's the Bible words that God's impressed upon my heart, a lot of which it's just God dealing with me. And so what I want to say to you in advance, if there's ever a need, I want to say, you might say, John's just preaching personal stuff. Well, it might be some of it. It's just God dealing with me in some of these things, using these words to instruct me. But, you know, I think that's kind of how he uses preachers. He gives them a word to instruct them that he might instruct the church with them, right? And so I'm going to share these things. This is what God's dealing with me. Now, these are not the end-all, be-all words of forever. There's so many good words not on the list. Y'all know how I love to preach grace, and grace is not one of these words. But I'm going to preach grace all the time anyway. These are some things that God's been working on me, okay? It's not every word, and some of them are going to be, like next week, we're going to talk about some real practical things. The words next week are very practical. This week, the words have to do with our perspective, how we see the world and the things happening in the world and our place in the world, and how we respond to those things. Perspective has to do with how you see it and how you react to it, okay? So these words are going to be about perspective, about giving us a way and God allowing God to correct maybe sometimes or instruct or reinforce or confirm the way we look at the world. I don't know how else to say it, but I believe God would want to rescue his people from a weak, victimized, self-pitying, poo-poo perspective and give us something strong from his word. And give us something, and he's working on me in this as much as anything. But I'm going to tell you, God, the God of the Bible, the God who is, he would have us to see things from his perspective and not get discouraged and not give up, but to go through this world with hope and gratitude. And y'all, that's what these words are about, okay? This whole process from last week to this week and the next week is about repentance. Now, you might be thinking, I have no need of repentance. And I would be thinking of your thinking that that's stinking thinking. I don't know that I could say all that again, Keith. But just, y'all, repentance isn't just about you've done something bad. It's about a change. You know, last week we talked about leaving something behind. Repentance is about leaving behind something not useful or bad and then picking up what is useful or good. That's repentance. It's got a two-pronged deal. It's a change of mind that says, I don't want this anymore. I want this. And so last week, the challenge was leave something behind that's hindering you. This week, we're going to talk about picking something up that'll help you. Okay? So it's reflective. So let's look at it. The two words are going to be patience and gratitude. Patience and gratitude. These words, I believe, will describe, and we'll look at the scripture with it, but a way that God would have us to be patient and to be grateful. What do y'all think about those words? Never mind, I ain't got time to hear all that. But you think about them. Patience, particularly, we're going to start with it. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4 says this, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." In James chapter 5, verse 7, I'm going to read 7 through 11. "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently until it receives the early and latter rain. You also, be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. And do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of patience and suffering. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure, and you have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful." Let's pray. Father God, help us. Help us to be patient. Help us to be grateful. Help us, Lord, to have a perspective that's shaped by these words from your word. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise and we ask for your blessing. We ask for your strength, your courage. We ask that through your spirit, we might grow in this perspective. We love you, Lord. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all, the word patient in the scriptures I use, there's two different words that are translated patience or patient. The one word has to do with not giving up, not quick to quit. Not quick to just say, I'm done. Listen to me, church. Especially in the light of your Christian life, walking and growing in the Lord. Don't quit. Don't stop because you stink at it. As a Christian and as a pastor and as a husband and as a dad, you wouldn't believe how often I think to myself, you really stink at what God's called you to do. You're just no good at it. You fail more than you succeed. You're as fruitless as anything can be. And I'll tell you, and you might say, oh, that's just people talking. No, I mean, I just look around and I feel that way. When it comes to being a Christian and being holy in my conduct and my thoughts, I think to myself, golly, what if they put me on a holy, like a scale that measured holiness? Man, I would be unsubstantial. I might not make the numbers tick. And I think to myself, what's the purpose of it? Why am I doing it? Why don't I change? You know, when I drove a truck, I was successful because I got a truck from point A to point B. That's what a truck driver does and gets it safely there and back. But in the things that God has me in now, there's such a temptation to quit and say, oh, I don't feel like I'm doing good and I get beat up on. Not by y'all. Christ Community Church, you know why your pastor's been here going on 13 years? Because you guys rock. Because it's an awesome church. Because this church has been patient with a guy who had never been a pastor anywhere before. It may never could be a pastor anywhere else. I have no idea. LG's looking, he's like, that's right, buddy. But the point is, at some point, I bet you I'm not the only one who has to wrestle with what they're doing and what God's called them to do. At some point, I bet you I'm not the only one who has to say, Lord, help me to stay in the course that you have for me. Help me not to quit. Help me not to leave. Help me not to run. Can I tell you, I'm a runner. You can tell, can't you? I ain't talking about that kind. I'm talking about when conflict comes. I don't like conflict. I'd rather run. I don't want to argue with somebody. I'll shut you out rather than argue with you. I just leave you off. Whoop. So when things like that, and I don't feel like I'm good at something, I don't want to do it. How many of y'all in here, if you don't feel like, if you're not good at something, you don't want to do it? How many times have you said this? Thank you. That row right there.
We got them on the third row. Let's go back from the back. Let's find those people right there. They re-education training.
How many times have you said this? I've said this. Well, I'm no good at it, so I don't like to do it. You know, when it comes to like games and stuff, be like, hey, do you want to play this game? I'm like, nah, I don't like to play that game. Why not? Well, I'm no good at it. Well, for a game, that's okay, but when it's life, it's different, isn't it? You kind of got to be like, you got to have something that will keep you enduring and persevering and not quitting and not giving up and not throwing in the towel. And can I tell you some of the things I mentioned before, like being a husband and a father, being a mom, being a wife, being a Christian. These things aren't easy. And it's easy to get discouraged because you can't always measure success in a real tangible way. So why do you continue? You continue because the Lord said, hey, come on in this. Come on, do this. And you stay the course and you continue. Even if you don't feel like you're good at it. You might feel like an utter failure. I like those adoption commercials. Have you all seen those where it says you don't have to be a perfect parent and they're like off in the kitchen burning something, the smoke's rolling like, woo! It's like you don't got to be a perfect parent. You just got to be the parent that they need. And sometimes that gives you enough just to hold on. It's like, Lord, whatever trial I'm going through now, like it says in the Word, help me to endure. Help me to be patient. Help me to continue on and realize that my life story is not about my success, but about God's glory. And if God's called me into these roles, then let me persevere. Let me have the patience to continue. Lord, do the work of patience in me and the work of patience in us. It's all right, man. Patience is a good work. I know we've always said, I've always heard, maybe y'all haven't, don't pray for patience because of what God will do. I'm not asking y'all to pray for patience. I'm asking y'all to just receive it from them. Love, joy, peace. What's the next fruit of the Spirit? You know, God has it for us. God has patience for us. It's a fruit of His Spirit. God will give it to you. Ask Him for it. Wait for it. Look for it. God will give you the patience you need. You know, I think to myself, it's probably the greatest gift that I've given to my wife and to my children and to the church. And I'm not trying to, it's just been my patience. The patience to not quit when I felt like quitting. To not run when I felt like running. Just to not leave when I didn't feel like it was going my way or I thought something else would be better. Just to stay. Just be patient. I can't think of a better gift that I've given. Furthermore, I can't think of much better gift that I've been given. That when other people have said, you're really messed up. I'm like, okay, how's that going to grow? And people have extended patience. As a brand new pastor coming to a church that had already been established, and they extended patience. And they said, come on, we're going to grow together. Matter of fact, when I was introduced to Christ Community Church by Eddie Cresswell, and he put his arm where he goes, this guy is going to mess up. I was like, how does he know me so well? We've just met. This guy's going to mess up. And you're going to have to be patient. You're going to have to forgive him. You're going to have to allow him to grow. And y'all have. What a great gift. One of the greatest gifts my mama gave me was patience. There was a time when I walked into my mom's house. There's been times I've walked in a lot of different ways. There's a time when I walked into my mom's house, barely walked in because I was intoxicated. I'd thrown up all over myself. I was rolled in a puddle by my friends to try to clear off some of the vomit. And they walked me into my mom's house. And I walked in my room and just fell face first on the bed and just flopped, getting everything soaked and dirty. I don't know why she didn't grab me by the back of my britches and drag my tail outside and just say, you just sleep out there. You're so stupid. She didn't say that to me. She didn't say a whole lot to me. I know that at that time in my life, I wasn't doing laundry and a lot of stuff, which means she cleaned the clothes and she cleaned the bedding and she cleaned the room and she cleaned the mess that I made. Why didn't she throw me out? She was patient. There was one time I walked in and I got in trouble at a friend's house. And I was young, man. I was young. We got in trouble. I was, you know, junior high. My friend's house was a couple blocks away. I was supposed to be spending the night. We got in trouble. I ain't going to tell you what the trouble was, but we got in trouble, and I had to go. And so I decided to go home, and which was good because I had some other options. I was going to not go home and stay somewhere else just to avoid everything, but I decided to go home. On the way home, I crafted a story about how they were having family trouble. You know, because my buddy had a big brother, and I thought, man, if we could put the trouble off on the big brother, that'll keep me and my friend out of trouble. So I walked in. My mom said, what you doing here? I said, well, let me tell you, my buddy's big brother is a troublemaker, and he got in trouble, and they had to send me home so they could deal with this family problem. It sounded extremely plausible to me. She said, John, why don't you tell me another one? So I said, okay. What really happened was Mom and Dad was kind of mad at each other. You know, Mom drinks a little. You know, they got into an argument. They had to send me on home. John, why don't you tell me another one? Okay, let me, I'll remember what the third one was. But I know this. It had to hurt my mama's heart to think that her only child would rather lie to her than tell her the truth. Even when he knew he was caught. Now, I didn't even really know because I still was kind of, I'm so gullible and dumb. Tell me another one. I'm like, I hope this one works. You know, I'm old, but I ain't that old. You know, what happened was my friend's mama called my mama on the telephone, which was, you know, not an invention I was not unfamiliar with. So she just called and said, hey, this is what happened. I'm sending John home. My mama knew the whole time. Why is it I thought I had to lie to my mom? She knew the whole truth. I can only imagine in her heart thinking, why would my son, what is it in, and maybe she even questioned herself, what is it in my character that my son thinks he just can't tell me the truth? Even after I've indicated, and then the other thought was, how did I raise somebody so stupid? But she never said that. She just loved me. And then she told me, John, so-and-so's mom called me, told me the whole story. And in my house, I wouldn't have gotten in trouble for what would happen, by the way. She said, but you're going to be, I got in more trouble than he did because I lied. But she was patient with me. And she continued to love me. What about God? How patient, how great a gift is the patience of God to us? Did y'all crawl out? Gosh, I almost said crawl out your mama's womb, but I ain't going to say that. That'd just be weird. Y'all, were y'all born just hands raised, praising God and acknowledging Him for every good thing? No idea. He don't even remember. You know, how neglectful. No, the answer is no, you did not. You were not born in this world a born again believer in Jesus Christ. You were not born in this world somebody who acknowledged God with all your ways. You were not. You were born like me, a sinner, on whom God, the Holy God, has had patience. And long, that idea of long suffering, he's just suffered long, he's endured. Let me tell you about that other word for patience. I told you the one meant to endure. The other word for patience is not quick to retaliate. Oh, how God has been not quick to retaliate on me. You ever have that thought? Oh, God's going to strike them down. God's going to strike them down. How many people have you seen strike down lately? Oh, thank you, patience of God. You ever have somebody say, we had somebody teasing somebody today, but say, oh, if I walk in the church doors, they're going to shake down, break up, and crumble down on my head. Seems pretty firm to me so far. How patient God is. Oh, but if I do that, God will just be done with me. You tell me when God will be done with you after he paid his son's life to save you. How patient he is for us. How patient he was for Israel. Somebody might say, how do you know that God's love just endures forever? You ever read the Old Testament? How many times do those folks end up getting involved in some kind of dumb idolatry? They come up with something. They craft the My favorite, because it's ironic, but it reminds me how dumb I am. I'm not just picking on the Jews and the Old Testament people, because I see myself. I see my own dumbness and the patience of God. They came down out of Egypt. God had given them the Ten Commandments, right? God had, Moses was up on the mountain actually getting them. The people got worried, and they came to Aaron, the brother of Moses, and said, "We don't know if Moses is ever going to come back. You need to make us a god so we can worship." And Aaron said, "Okay, give me all your gold." So they gave him gold earrings, bracelets, all this stuff, and he melted it down, and he formed it. He fashioned it into the shape of a cow. He put it in the fire. I say put it in the oven, and in my mind, I'm thinking like an oven in my kitchen. You know, like put it in the oven. But there in the desert, there wasn't no ovens like that. I don't know anyway. They did it their own way. They made it, made this idol, brought it out, and they called it by the name of the Lord. They said, "This is Yahweh, our God." And they began to dance and worship and do all this stuff like the pagans did. They had just got brought out of Egypt. They saw all God's miracles. What in the world were they thinking? He done part of the Dead Sea. I mean, the Red Sea. He done did all of it. When Moses confronts Aaron, Aaron says this: "The people made me do it. I gathered their gold. I put it in the fire, and a calf jumped out." I'm thinking to myself, if anybody needed to be struck down right then, it was the high priest of Israel. Right then, he needed to be struck. Shabbat! For telling such a stupid-headed lie and drawing all the people into idolatry. But God didn't get onto him. God got onto him, but God didn't call him stupid. But God endured that for centuries. How patient God is. How slow to retaliate. Oh, he's patient. Can I tell you, one of the greatest gifts I've received is the patience of my church, of my family, of God. And it's one of the greatest gifts I can give to my family, my friends, and even to God. Man, I know some people who get quick to be angry with God. "Oh, God did this. Oh, God did that. Oh, shush." You wouldn't be here without God. You wouldn't be here without your mama. And you ought to be nice and patient and loving and considerate. Those are all different words, but I'm just telling you. Let me tell you one more place of patience, because I want to confess on something. There was a time when I looked at somebody and I said, with absolutely no patience, "You are stupid. You're an idiot. And I hate what you do. I hate your look. I hate you." I said that to somebody, no patience in my heart. You reckon I should say that to anybody? You reckon I should treat somebody like that? I'm going to tell you, the person who I did that to is in this room. And if I hadn't already apologized, I would right now. But the person I said that to was me. Because one of the people I treat with the least amount of patience is myself. And can I tell you, there's no excuse for that either. You ought to be patient with you. I ought to be patient with me. If you make a mistake and you blow up at yourself, and when people see that and they hear that, do you think they really believe you have grace and patience with them? They just know you bottle it up. You ain't got the guts to voice it. But when it's you, you voice it. "Oh, I'm so stupid. Oh, I'm so dumb. Oh, I'm so like this." No, listen. The grace of God applies to you too. It applies to me too. Be patient with yourself. What are you, a perfect Christian? Why is it that when we make mistakes, we fly off the handle with us? You ought not to. Be patient. Don't malign yourself. I get onto my kids sometimes, and sometimes I'll say to them, when one brother or sister is talking to the other brother and sister, I said, "Don't talk to my children that way," so that they'll understand when they're down in their brother or sister, they're down in my child. But whose child am I down in when I talk to myself like what I told you? Whose child am I down in? Who am I disrespecting? Who loves me the most and the highest and the best? And who am I running down? Why would I run down the one for whom the blood of Christ was shed and applied and saved? Why am I going to do that? There's very, very few people, by the way, I would let talk to me that way. Very few people I'd let talk to me that way. But I'm telling you what, I don't want to be one of them anymore. I'm going to be more patient with me. I'm going to exercise more patience with everybody, and everybody includes me. I challenge you that way. Get that perspective. What a great gift to give to others. What a great gift you've received, and what a great gift you can give to you. Be patient. All right? You're going to fall and you're going to stumble. Don't wallow in it. Ain't no sense in beating yourself up. If we beat ourselves up, do you realize the devil would be unemployed? Do you want us to have to put him on welfare? Said, man, he can't even get a job because too many Christian people are whooping their own tail. He's got a job. Don't take it from him. Let him do what he does. God ain't never called you to whoop you. Confess, repent, move on. Amen? All right, here's the next word. The next word is gratitude. Gratitude is a huge, it's a small word, but it represents a hugeness. I don't know how, is that a word even? Hugeness? Is hugeness a word, Doc? Just became a word today, 2018, hugeness. Look in the dictionary. An abundance. We ought to have an abundance of gratitude. Gratitude can be defined simply this way. Joy expressed Godward. The kind of gratitude I'm talking about first and foremost is that which we ought to have for God. Because I believe this. If you have gratitude towards God and what He's done, you'll be able to express it to everybody else too. So focus on gratitude. Saying, in my mind, I want to have this mindset, this perspective. Whatever might come into my life, I'm going to be grateful. I'm going to be grateful. I want to tell you why that's a good idea. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, it says this, giving thanks always for all things to God. Let me read that one more time. Giving thanks always, that's time, right? Always. When's a good time for gratitude? And then it says, for all things. That means everything, right? What kind of things should we be grateful for? So all the time for all things. Do you get a sense of how big gratitude is? Giving thanks always for all things to whom? Do y'all miss that most important part? Come on now. Giving thanks always for all things to whom? God. It's a Godward expression. It's an abundant thing. When I first was reading this, I was thinking about like big old army tote bags, or like, you know, they're like huge. You know, the old ones, the big old tote bags, just full. Like two of them, one over each shoulder, full of gratitude. Just an abundant. Gratitude's not just a little bit, you know, it's not something you have to be miserly with. It's not gold coins that you only have a few and you have to just save them. It ought to be something you can reach and hand out great big handfuls of. Big old bags of gratitude. Oh, how many of us know somebody who we think in our minds should be here today? And I'm not trying to bring up bad memories, but they're not here for whatever reason. But for whatever reason you are, can I tell you, we ought to be grateful. Even for those who aren't here that we've lost, we ought to say, thank you, Lord, that we had them while we did. And thank you, Lord, that we're here. Thank you, Lord, that I'm alive. Thank you, Lord, that I can move and that I can speak. Some of us are in various levels of moving and speaking, various levels of health, but I can tell you what, you ought to be thankful. Be thankful. Be grateful for God. Oh, what He's done and He's poured out on us. Now, I'm going to share this saying with you that as far as I know, I made it up. I'm proud, and I don't know if it's right to be proud. And y'all might not even like it, but I like it. It's this. The oceans of God's grace should always be met on the beaches of our gratitude. The oceans of God's grace. Because God's grace is deep, and it's vast, and it's all over the place. It should always be met with the sandy shores of our thankfulness, our gratitude of saying, thank you, Lord, for everything. If you have a problem child, you ought to say, thank you, Lord, for my problem child. A couple reasons why. One, their problems can be a lot worse. If you just watch, just look around, talk to some people. It can be a lot worse. You know, you can be one, you might say, man, I have a problem child. Then you meet somebody and you go, thank you, Lord, for the problems that my child has. I just want to hug them. And pick them up and kiss them. You have your child. Be thankful. Be thankful for what you have. Even if you might say it's not good or it's not this, but you got it. Be
thankful. And if you know Christ, if you're on the road to heaven, if you were on the highway to hell like that AC/DC song, right?
Got it bopping in my head right now. I'm sorry about that. I wish I was more sanctified, but I'm not. It's just going. But now you're on the road to heaven. It's not going downward for you anymore. Because of what Christ has done, it's going up. And you're walking to heaven. Walk with a smile and a thankful word on your lips. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you've given me. Thank you for what you've kept from me. Thank you for who you've put me with. Thank you for who you've kept from me. Lord, I love you. I thank you for exactly the way it's gone. It couldn't have been any different, and I love you, and I love you. Thank you. We ought to be thankful for the good, for the bad, always, for all things. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, it says, in everything, give thanks. Down here, we ought to be thankful. What do you think the attitude of someone who is bound to a godless eternity in darkness, pain, and suffering, what do you think their attitude will be when they pass? And because of the grace of God, they end up in heaven. Not just at the gates, but they go through the gates. They're in the throne room. They're there. They see the Lamb who was slain for us. What do you think their attitude is going to be? Do you reckon at all they're going to be like, oh, is this it? I didn't have a mint on my pillow in my heaven mansion, and I noticed that there was fingerprints on the streets of gold. Can we... Who does that? Who takes care of those things here? The plumbing works fine in heaven. Everything is beautiful. You didn't get there by your own. You couldn't earn it. You couldn't deserve it. But he gave it to you. I believe the chiefest of attitudes in heaven is going to be gratitude. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh my gosh. You know, we're going to see things that our eyes have never seen, our ears have never heard, nor has ever entered into the imagination of men, how good it is, the things of heaven. And we're going to see it because of what Christ did for you and me. We ought to just gush with thanksgiving. We ought to gush with it. We ought to be so happy. And what should we be when we're on the road? If we're going to be happy then and grateful, and we're going to be grateful for what we receive now, and we're going to be grateful then, what should we be like in between? Grateful. Yeah. You're like, and this makes sense, doesn't it? Angel said that like, grateful. You know, like that's it. That's the answer. That's right. Be grateful. What's keeping you from being grateful? What is it that you think you deserve that you haven't gotten? Can I tell you, when I think about what I deserve and I haven't gotten, it makes me even more grateful. Because I so often know that I've dodged things that I've deserved that would have been a hindrance, a great hindrance to me. And because of God and His grace, I haven't received them. But what if you've received even bad? What if you received bad and said, I didn't deserve that. That shouldn't have happened to me. But can I tell you something? You're still on that same road to heaven. God still loves you. And the hardships that you've went through, whatever they might be, they are there to strengthen you, not destroy you. They're there for a purpose too. They weren't there to kill you. They weren't there to demolish you. They're there to strengthen you. Even the hardest of ones. Can I tell you, even in those things, we can find a reason to be grateful always for all things. Take on gratitude. Take on patience. These are good things. They'll make our church, they'll give us perspective. If we had this perspective amongst all of us, y'all, we'd have to build, I don't want to say we'd have to be like that farmer who had to keep building bigger buildings, but we'd have to have more services. You wouldn't be able to keep people away from a people who are patient with everybody, themselves included, and who are grateful. Oh my goodness. That perspective, we need to give it to our children so they don't give up. How many of our teenagers give up, and how many of them are ungrateful? We need to permeate this so that they would know that they're not victims like the world wants to teach them.
They think a hardship comes against them and it's time to whine. It's not time to whine. It's time to be grateful. Grateful for you're alive. Grateful for what you have. Grateful for who God is. Oh, let's do it. Can we do that? Hey, the invitation is for all of us. Can we do it? Now, we don't all have to come up here. You can if you want, but it's for all of us. Be patient. Be grateful. Look for opportunities. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to be here and just to be open, just to be honest. And Father, there's so many times I've fallen short of these, of being patient, of being grateful. And Father, just, I want to leave that behind, but I want to pick this up. I want to look forward. This year is about looking forward. I'm not looking behind. I want to look forward. Make us more patient. Make us more grateful. Help us. Lord, we love you and we need you and we give you all the praise and we do it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. I don't know if the band has a song, but if they do, this would be the time to play it. And Jamie has what song? Jamie has a song. He's going to sing it. You've never heard his voice, but it's beautiful. And if you have business to do with God, now's the time. If you need to accept him as your Savior, if you need to turn something over and need to pick something up, now's your time. That's look back there. It's Jamie. I'm telling you.
take a morning offering. And just remember, God, that song that this ended with, "As Well With My Soul," was written by a man who lost all of his children in a boating accident, in a shipwreck. And he wrote the song, "It Is Well With My Soul." What kind of patience you reckon it took to get him to that point? And long suffering, and just anyways, it's just a reminder. And pray for us. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come together. And Father, even for this offering, I do thank you. And help us, Lord, to give as unto you. This isn't about all different kind of things people have in their mind, but it's just about being faithful to you and recognizing you as the source of every good and perfect gift. Lord, we love you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been taken over. We're being captured here, and we want to do this before, you know, Jamie was convinced after the offering everybody was going to leave. Thank you all for not leaving. That way, that was Jamie's fault. And but these youngins are going to camp, and y'all know we've been raising money. We've been doing a lot of things. One of the things we do is we're going to give out. I'm going to let Jamie tell you what we're going to do, because I don't know if I fully understand it, but I know this. I know that we support our youth, and this is a good deal. And so I'm just going to ask you to give your support and your ear to Jamie here.
Yeah, thanks, man. All right, so y'all probably remember last year we did the M&M tubes and filled them up with quarters for the fundraiser for Centrifuge. They hold depending on how good you are at packing quarters, because apparently quarters must be different sizes. Some people put in $20. Some people had up to $22 in here, and they do fit. So just to show you, there's the quarters that were in this one. I could only find $16 worth of quarters at my house, and it was only filled up to like right there. So this one would have probably held 22. There's 68 containers of M&Ms. Last year we took 17 or 18 kids to Centrifuge. This year we're taking 34. 34. So 40 people overall, including the old people that for some reason signed up to go. I think I conned them into it. I don't know. So basically what's going to happen in a second is, y'all listen up, all the containers should be gone. Somebody should be one short.
I got four short.
No, that's impossible. There's 68. Make sure you have two for each person on your paper. Some of the folks aren't here today, so they're going to have more than two in their hand. But this is what I need, y'all. I need 68 people to say they'll fill this thing up with quarters. All right? Now, there might not be 68 people in here because 10 people did leave before the offering. I was counting. So, that being said, maybe if you can take two, that'd be great. Now, last year, some people just put a $20 bill in it. Okay? If you don't have the quarters, like, don't stress out trying to find quarters all over the place. Okay? The idea is just give us the money. I don't know how else to say that. But it's really fun to put quarters in it, and we're going to sell you this dollar tube of M&Ms for $20. Okay? So you get something out of it. Now, unfortunately, 16 of them are empty because they're from last year. So sorry about that if you get one of the empty ones. Any questions? Okay, good. So when they come around, they've got a piece of paper, and they're just going to ask you to write your name on that paper. Last year, we literally had somebody write down, bald white guy with beard. Okay? I still don't know who that is. All right? So make sure you write your name on there so that we know who you are. And again, if you can do more than one, we'd really appreciate it. So if you're willing to do it, if you'll just raise your hand, and we'll just send these guys out to you now. If you're not willing to do it, raise your hand anyway, because we need you to do it. Huh?
You know, make sure if you get them right, tell them your name, or you just write your name on the list for them. Would probably be best. Just write your name on the list, and look, it's helpful for them. But y'all remember, all giving comes from a cheerful heart. This isn't about compulsion. It's not about what you got to do to be good with the Lord or anything. And this is the song. Two Sundays from now is when we're looking for them back. Two Sundays from now. All right. Hey, listen, I'm going to go ahead and dismiss our service. I know that was kind of a weird ending. Let me pray for us. Get some tubes of M&Ms as you go, if you can. If you can't, it's all good, man. God loves us. Let me pray. Thank you, Lord God, for loving us. Thank you for even the crazy endings of church like this where there's M&Ms flying. Lord, we love you. We count on you. And Father, you're awesome. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank y'all for letting me be your pastor, and I love you. Ready? Break.